Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 107 of the Armless Octocast. It is Tuesday, July 10th. We skipped last week. It was July 4th, and there were things to do, and, you know, we have lives.
Fireworks to be
detonated. We have lives, damn it. I'm your host, Taylor Bliss, and we've got the full cast. It is Mike Wall.
We love our country so much, we had to devote time to spend time with America.
Unlike my job, which made me work all day. We've got Dave Voiles is here.
Hello.
He had a pool party.
And that I did.
And we've got Anthony Swinich.
I spent my 4th of July drinking motor oil and chewing spark plugs. America.
I don't even think that's like a thing that would happen in the South.
No, that sounds pretty awful.
It's terrible.
Put is that a your chest.
Is that a faux Canadian thing? Like you feel like Canada is about to absorb you, so you have to do things that are just so extreme to get attention?
You'd be surprised how easy it is to scare Canadians away.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're drinking motor oil and eating spark plugs, yeah, I bet
seriously.
It is.
Just tell them you're out of maple syrup.
I'm out of syrup. Sorry, eh?
And that you don't like hockey.
Whoa.
They don't know what to
no,
do.
No, actually,
we have Mike here. We have Mike here. Watch your saying.
That just makes them angrier. But
that'll enrage them.
Yeah, really.
Then you have to spit motor oil in their eyes. So they charge you wildly.
And you've got to siphon off all the oil.
That's too delicious to spit, though. You have to swallow the motor oil.
You must be getting that fine motor oil. I usually go for the Walmart brand, so
I don't want
to swallow that shit.
Kind of cash.
Yeah, that's the stuff with the low viscosity.
Yeah, that's a rinse and spit deal right there.
Anyway, guys, what's everyone been up to? Anybody?
Playing some games?
Anybody?
No fireworks.
I mean, we've been off for a week. Come on,
I think you got to give us a little bit of leadership here if you're going to be the
host. All right, fine.
You got to wear
you
those host pants.
You know what?
I played some video games.
Pull them up.
You guys are terrible. Anthony.
What up?
What have you been doing? What's up? What's going on?
Hanging out with Ginny Weasley.
With Ginny? How's Ginny? How's she doing? How's her fam?
She's good.
Yeah?
Her and Harry are very happy together.
Oh, that's so
much to the dismay
precious.
Of fanboys everywhere.
That's so precious.
Yeah. But anyways, I did a little indie gaming today to catch up before the show because I kind of took a lot of the week off. I was playing a lot of Crysis on the Xbox 360.
Oof. Oh, man. Okay. First or second?
The first one. I went ahead and bought the what is it? The
on-demand
games? Games on-demand.
Yeah. I bought that version because I don't think it's available on disc, right?
It's not, no.
Yeah,
really?
It's pretty good, but...
it's weird,
okay.
Right?
It's pretty good, but it's not really an indie game, so I don't know that.
Oh, this is Crysis 1,
really
right?
Want to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, they went back and they re-released it as digital only.
I guess they built it with the Crysis 2 engine, from what I understand.
Yeah, it was really weird because they made like this first game and they said it could never be on consoles, and then they said, well, we're going to make a sequel and make a new engine so it could be on consoles.
Mm,
and
yeah, the second engine was way more optimized, that's why.
And then, so does the first one look like crap on the second one's engine, or...
I think it looks pretty damn
good. Yeah, it still looks
it's
good.
Just different. It you can't push it as hard.
Yeah, no. The first engine just was not optimized at all. That's why, even when it came out in like September of 2007, PCs then really couldn't run that game. They just pushed out the nice looking thing. Right. Almost 5 years ago now.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, September of 2007.
Jesus. March 6, 2008, Dave.
No, it came out in the fall.
I am looking at it right now. Oh wait, hold on. Sorry, that's version 1.1. My mistake.
Boom.
Crysis was so on.
I know because I bought it right when it came out.
November 2007.
That was close. September, November.
God, 5 years ago that game came out. Are you kidding me?
I know, and it's still. If you have a setup PC, that game looks beautiful even today.
Anyway.
So yeah, long of the short is it's really fun. It doesn't look as good as I would imagine it does on a high-end PC, but it's okay, and I run around with active camouflage on and punch people to death.
What's that game cost, like $20?
Yep.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But I got Crysis 2 for $10 at like a Sears clearance sale the other day, so I figured why not take the bullet and just go for both of them.
Yeah.
So do you have to play them in order so you understand the plot? Is that the whole point?
Yeah, I'm finding that the plot isn't very engaging.
Really? I thought it was going to be
just, like,
not real
people
in
across
it.
The level.
I thought that your camouflage punching simulator would have like a really engrossing storyline.
You'd think that, but spoiler alert, aliens on a tropical island has been done to death.
Really?
No, I don't know. I haven't really fought any aliens yet, and I feel bad mentioning that there's aliens in case anybody listening. But I did preface it with spoiler alert. And they might not be aliens. They might just be like technologically advanced robots or something. I don't know what the hell that thing is, but I haven't fought it yet. I did blow up a tank.
With your fists?
No, I was trying to figure out how to punch the tank to death, and then it shot barrels in front of itself and killed itself.
So how come the barrels didn't kill you?
Because I was far away.
Oh.
Like, I was off in the distance, like, trying to figure out, I was, like, hiding behind a tree or something. I was like, what am I going to do to this tank? I don't want to shoot it. And then it just exploded. And I was like, how did that happen?
It was a battle of wits, and you won.
I have outsmarted 2007's highest honored game.
Was it? I don't even think it was 2007's highest honored game.
It probably wasn't. What year did Mario Galaxy come out?
Oh,
2006?
I don't know.
Yeah, early 06, I think.
Ah, well then, no.
Dave, you're beating me on game releases right now.
I don't know. And I have it sitting next to me. I literally own that game sitting on my desk next to me.
No, it was November 2007.
Damn it!
It was the same freaking month, Dave.
I know. How did I miss this? I was too busy playing Crysis when this was coming out.
Yeah, that was definitely my game of the year, Mario Galaxy. But moving on to indie games. I played Super Amazing Wagon Adventure on Xbox.
So did I. Is that a funny game or what?
It is amusing. I wish somebody would have told them to make the text last a little longer.
Yeah, it goes really fast to the point where you can't even see what's going on.
And it's super jarring in terms of style because it cuts so from, like, you know, what would be the screen of a video game to just a stark black screen.
Scene, text, scene, text, scene, text.
It's way too fast-paced, but I guess that's part of the charm.
Yeah.
This is kind of like an Oregon Trail ripoff or like a homage.
Yeah. It's
an homage because it's more of a shooter.
Yeah, it's definitely different than Oregon Trail, but you can definitely see the similarities.
It definitely directly references it. Like, you know, you have X amount of people in your wagon, and they die from certain things that may happen during the journey, usually because you're playing very carelessly. The music is sometimes good and sometimes weird. It would otherwise be an average shmup in my eyes, but I think they did a good job adding the aesthetic and
the aesthetic.
It's got some charm to it.
The humor. Yeah, it's got some good charm. It's worth a look.
Okay. Anything else?
And I also played Super Avatar Fighting Tournament, which Dave and Mike also played, that they liked, and I was not a fan.
Yeah, I just put up at a glance story up on this today.
What
on the site.
What was your thoughts about it, Anthony?
I felt like the controls were kind of gummy. There were really no special moves. The AI wasn't very fun to fight against. It just, I don't know, like, maybe I'm just being too hard on it. I guess I expected something a little bit better. Maybe that's not fair for the channel. But there's a few fighters on there that are still pretty good. That Battle High, right? That's the name of the game?
Battle High San Bruno.
Yeah, that game was phenomenal.
That game's a little better than this, but it's also kind of aiming to do something a little different, I think.
I suppose. I would expect that they would get the basics in terms of handling down, though, and I didn't feel like they did a good job with that.
So, Mike, what do you feel it is trying to do then?
I think it's more just like more of a party kind of atmosphere, and it's sort of cool. I mean, it's a fighting game where it uses your avatars, and so I just think that the sort of ridiculousness of seeing like all of the ridiculous avatars fighting each other is fun, and the controls are, I can see what you're saying when they're like kind of gummy, but I mean, there are special moves. You can do like fireballs and like a dragon punch and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there are like combos and stuff. So I don't know. I felt like it was good enough and it served its purpose as like a sort of take it out, play a few rounds, put it down kind of game.
I could see where you're coming from thinking that it would be better in a party atmosphere. I would agree with that completely.
I mean, I played with Steph, so it was like both of us playing together, and that definitely made it more fun.
And I was playing with a friend that is very serious about Street Fighter. So I could see there's definitely a difference in mindset there versus what I would expect at the time and what you would expect.
Yeah. And also, like, the fighting style, it's sort of like a mix of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. So, like, you hold back to block, like, and there are, like, fireballs and dragon punches, but, like, there are weird sweeps and uppercuts and stuff from, like, MK, so... I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's not something you're going to, like, sit down there and learn all the combos and stuff, because there's not really a whole lot, but I thought it was functional and funny, so... You know, I thought it was cool. It also... Did you notice the ridiculous pose when some of your characters are knocked out?
No, I didn't.
So, like, I noticed this. It's, like, maybe one of every three times when a character loses, he just, like, falls forward and it just shrubs his ass out in the air, or she shoves her ass out in the air, and it's the most obscene thing. It's just insane. Like, because it's... They just stand there with, like, their ass just, like, just waiting to be mounted. It's ridiculous. I don't know what else could be... Like, what other purpose it serves. It's... kind of funny though.
What?
And you can,
Dave,
like,
how do you feel about it?
Well, I haven't played it in probably months.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I did like the fact that you can change up fighting styles before you even start the game, or I think you could select maneuvers at the time. Is that what it was?
Like, there's like boxing, taekwondo, and karate, and you get like 4 points, and you just put points into each of those, and that's what affects the moves that you get.
Right. And yeah, I liked that, but I did find like the menus a bit muddled in that I wasn't really sure of how I could allocate them and what it affected exactly.
You played it in peer review, so I don't know if this changed or not.
It shows
you like lists of the moves and then like what each thing is going to do as you add it, but it's kind of annoying because it flashes. It's like the move name and then flashes to how you do that move, and that's really annoying.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, move lists are kind of tough to get down in fighting games, and especially when you're playing with another opponent, simply because you're obstructing their view the whole time, you know?
Right, if you're like, so, I'm going to pause it and see how I do this.
Yeah, and it's like, if you're both new to a fighting game, that's really what it comes down to. You're just sitting there, like, staring at, you know, move lists for half the time.
Right, yeah. So yeah, I would say that if you're sitting there alone or looking for, like, some deep game, yeah, Anthony, you're totally right. This is not for you, but... If you've got people, especially if you have people that like have avatars that you can play with, seems like it could be fun for, you know, you're only going to play like maybe 5 or 10 rounds or something. It's not going to take up your night, but I don't think you need it to.
It's okay. Damn, speaking of games that took up my night, though, I did play a game that took up quite a bit of one of my nights, and that was Penny Arcade 3.
So I'll just touch on it briefly. You got in that tail?
Yeah, I finally picked it up on XBLIG. I know Mike had reviewed it for us a week or two ago, and I had a lot of the same feelings. You were spot on when you said get used to the fighting because you're going to be doing quite a bit of that.
Of course.
And it's to be expected. It would be nice to have the ability to skip fights, but say I put 3.5 hours into the game, I probably spent 2 of it fighting, at least. But outside of it, I enjoyed the dialogue, the nice art style.
Was that enough time to get through the whole thing for you?
No.
Okay.
I don't have I have no patience to play through entire games anymore.
How far? How far?
That's how contrived.
Yeah, I don't know.
How far are you in it?
The part where you go into the house in like Act 3 or 4, and you kind of split up into two parties. I'm got up to that.
Okay.
Point.
Yeah, that was annoying because you're basically both of those acts are like exactly
you're doing the
same
thing. Yeah.
I think I had that at some point in the review that I mentioned that was really annoying, and then I think I ended up just cutting it out because it didn't flow very well, and it didn't really...
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really bridge it, but yeah, that's a really annoying part.
I did hop on 2 other XBLIG games this week, and the first was Overdriven, which is a twin-stick shooter, that's going to be one of the next features coming up for Indies at a Glance.
Is that a twin-stick shooter, or is it a...
Oh, it's a shmup, I'm sorry.
The shmup, okay.
Yeah. And initially when I wrote up this at a glance, I kind of beat up the game a bit. I'm not quite sure why. So I went back and I played it again, and I realized that it's much better than what I initially gave it credit for. It's got some like beautiful particle effects. And the game itself just holds up well. I think my issue initially was I was expecting a lot because I played so many other like Japanese shmups in the last week. And when I got in there, it just did everything right, but it just wasn't spectacular in any way. I'll go more in depth in the review later on this week, but I enjoyed it, put it that way. I enjoyed it. You have to play through levels multiple times to really unlock the last few, and you do that by picking up artifacts that are kind of hidden throughout each of these levels. And artifacts are picked up by destroying obstructions and barriers in your way as you're progressing through the screen. But nothing brand new brings to the game. But if you like a twin shmup, then check it out. $3?
I actually, I was going back and forth with the developer of this game, and he's dropping it to $1. So
ooh, yeah, it's
so,
definitely
so. Wait a little bit and get for $1.
Yeah, I don't know when he can do that, or since he just released it a week or so ago. But
yeah, I think every 7 days you can adjust it.
So yeah, so I would, if you're on the fence about that, I would wait a couple days and see if it drops.
Yep. And the last XBLIG I played was Go Gimbal Go, and that was by Gimbal Lock Studios. And they've been working on this for a while, about 3 or 4 years in development. Oh, I guess it was like a side project by some students from, I want to say Full Sail, one of those gaming universities. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw this a few months ago, I wasn't really blown away by it. And then as I started to pick it up and play, it really caught me. Have you guys seen this yet?
It looks like almost kind of like a Kirby Canvas Curse feel.
Yeah, like the vivid graphics and everything's kind of moving in the background.
Well, I'm just seeing this, because I haven't played it, but I'm just seeing this almost drawn on the screen, this path.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a little too fast for its own good.
Right.
And that was my comment as well. It's kind of like a racer, where you want to, the second you hop into a racing game, your gut reaction is just to hit the pedal and go as fast as you can the entire time, right? Is that a safe bet to say that most people will kind of pick up racers in that manner?
I would say yes.
Right, and then later on, you start to learn to use the brake, and you're like, oh, this is how you play. I had the same thing here. Once I learned how to slow down and use the brake, I found it was a much more enjoyable experience. And it's literally you're literally on rails the entire time, and the rails are...
I've heard it compared to Uniracers on the Super Nintendo.
I haven't played that. What's that like?
Kind of like that.
It's a lot like this Go Gimbal game.
I guess. You're literally stuck on rails, and you can switch between the rails if they're parallel to one another, and by doing so, you can avoid enemies or pick up children that you're trying to save. And these children will give you different hats you can throw on your
picking
your
up children for hats, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, exchanging them for hats. So
you're robbing little children of their hats.
I got a
no.
Davy
you're,
Crockett
you're robbing. You're robbing hat. The children of themselves and trading yes. them for hats.
I got a Davy
selling
Crockett
them into
hat.
Yeah.
And
we
I
were playing the game earlier today, and every time we would miss a child, my friend would say, "You didn't touch that kid."
Boy, Jerry Sandusky.
So that's where I was with that game.
Okay,
what a Jerry Sandusky, that's where you were?
Yeah, we were hanging out, We threw a couple back.
Homeboys.
Was he good at it?
God.
He was the best. He has the high score. Global leaderboards.
So we're moving on.
And the last thing I've been playing was Battlefield 3. I picked up the premium pack.
Oh, thank God, because you were just putting so many hours into that. You needed the new content.
$50 kit. I know I played more Battlefield than anything else in the last year or so. I have like 25 hours.
Whoa!
I know, that's a lot.
Lock it up, Dave.
Slow down, Dave.
We don't.
So it's $50.
We don't pay you to
DLC
play Battlefield 3, man.
I know, but yeah, I mean,
How
I'm enjoying
have
it.
Have time to eat and sleep.
Yeah, sleeping is terribly overrated.
Dave doesn't sleep.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get into this game other than to say if you enjoy Battlefield, already has to offer, this is worth it for you. The four new maps are close quarters, so it gives more of a Call of Duty feel, and that everything is much tighter. But yeah, if you like Battlefield, you'll enjoy this. Otherwise, it's not going to make you a fan of a genre you're not already a fan of.
All right.
So, how about Taylor? You played You Don't Know Jack,
oh,
huh?
My God. I just can't believe that you guys haven't been playing You Don't Know Jack.
I know.
You got to get on this jam.
I hear it's missing like a big feature from the PC original, though. I guess you guys screw people or something.
Yeah, somebody was listening to the Besties podcast. To be honest, I didn't play the original one, so I'm not the best person to speak on it.
Scandal.
But, oh my God, I can't believe it. But, there's apparently, there was a mode in the first one, or like something that you could do where you could force someone to answer on the spot. So, like, I guess if you knew that they probably weren't going to know the answer, you could basically...
Yeah, you had a screw that you could use.
Exactly, so you could basically force them to answer the question instead of you. And so that they would lose money. But otherwise, it seems like it's pretty much the full game, and it just makes me wish that I had been playing You Don't Know Jack for decades, because it's just so good. And you basically get these bite-sized chunks. You get one game a day, and I wish that I got 7 games a day.
But if you're playing on Facebook, are you playing against strangers, or is it live, or how's it work?
It's not live. It's kind of an asynchronous setup, so that if you have friends that also played that day's game, basically you'll be kind of put up. You'll see them as they answer the same questions. So you'll see what they did after that question, or during the Jack attack. You'll see them either get the right answer or get the wrong answer and that kind of stuff.
Is there any sort of, is there like any sort of like way of it knowing that you're not cheating since you're sitting in front of a computer, presumably?
I mean, you only get like 10 or 20 seconds.
Okay, so it's still timed. I didn't know if they did that.
No, okay. I mean, like, you don't. I have actually tried. I'm not successful. I can't Google search fast enough.
What?
I know. Not fast enough to answer. No. You Don't Know Jack.
Taylor Bliss? That's disappointing.
Taylor Bliss, attempted cheat.
What? It's not
confirmed
cheating.
Failure.
I'm just using all the resources available to me.
He calls that his hack attack.
But yeah.
I was thinking, though, like, if I were named Jack, there would be nothing more exciting in my life than walking into a room and screaming Jack attack. I don't know.
Jack attack.
I think
that's the highlight. That's the zenith of your life, you think?
If my name were named Jack, I believe that it would be.
Wow.
Luckily, I have other ways to fill the void.
Toady attack. But anyway, I also picked up Spelunky. And I actually have not gotten a chance to play it all that much. I've maybe put in an hour and a half or so. Roguelikes take a lot of effort from me, because I get frustrated by lack of progression easily.
Yeah, I was like kind of like really into this game until I found out more about it and realized that it's not a game for me.
Well,
when I just saw that it was like a 2D platformer with like 4 players and colorful graphics,
I need to get to the point where I can spend my treasure money on basically. Like, because apparently there's this guy where you can pay your treasure money to make kind of like a waypoint.
Right. If you have the right shit that he wants.
I need to get there so that I can live with,
myself. If you get, it's possible you can get there and then not have the shit he wants and not be able to do it.
I will probably kill myself. Like, I would have to put the game away. Possibly forever.
You put it on your digital shelf.
Yeah, I mean, that would just devastate me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's all I've been doing. Spelunky's good, but I really haven't put enough time into it to really say much about it.
Did you play the demo first, or did you actually just jump
in? I just jumped right in.
Okay, I was going to ask if you knew whether the demo gave you a good idea or not of whether you would like it.
I would probably guess that it would, because it makes it... You see what it is pretty quick.
Yeah.
And so basically, you know, it's a roguelike. Now just try the demo to see the gameplay and kind of test it out. But,
the fact that it's a roguelike scares me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a blast for playing with friends. I enjoyed it in that manner. I just basically like griefing people, though.
Seems like it would be harder with friends. Yeah. I don't like that idea.
No, but if one friend dies and you're a ghost, you can really help the others out. Ledge, like, blow other enemies off ledges and make things clear for you.
So you're saying that you're actually, you grief them so they die so that then they're forced to help you.
Well, that's it's kind of like that Super Mario Brothers game, you know what I mean? That new Wii one where you can, like, be a dick or
new
not.
Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Oh, yeah, there we go.
Wait, what did Dave call it?
That new Wii game, Super Mario Brothers.
He hit all the nouns just in the incorrect order.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like that Super Mario Brothers game on Wii, the new one.
It's like, it's like Street Fighter, the second one. If it were all Super,
it's like, or
Turbo.
It was like almost like it was like an Alpha 2. But yeah, that's all I got. Mike, did you tell us about Hard Reset and Lone Survivor yet?
No. Well, I was traveling for work a little bit.
Yeah.
I went to Chicago last week, and so that's my time to do my PC gaming. So just me and my laptop in a hotel room. So
yeah.
So I tried playing Hard Reset on my laptop, and as I think many of you may know, I know Dave even played it. It's a pretty damn good-looking game.
That is correct.
Doesn't look so hot on my laptop. I started playing it, and I'm like, wow, this looks great. And then I started to move, and it was running at about like 5 frames a second. So very nice lighting and very nice, you know, textures and everything. So I just kept sliding it down to like medium and then to low finally before it was like running at a realistic pace. But even like on low settings, it still looked pretty good. It kind of reminded me of like maybe what a kind of poor Xbox 360 game would look like. Like a medium to poor Xbox 360 game. So I was like, you know, it was still pretty playable and really fast paced and still like a lot of fun in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I played like 2 levels and just stopped and never really felt compelled to go back. So I don't really know if that's because I'm never compelled to play anything on PC once I don't have to, or if it's just not, there's no hook there for the game for me. Cause like while I was playing it, it was a lot of fun and great graphics and great sort of like aesthetic of, you know, futuristic city kind of thing. And, so I don't really know what to take from that, except to say that, I want to like it a lot. I think I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like it's simple in most regards, you know, it's just based literally as much of a straightforward first-person shooter as you can get, right?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know if it changes at all. It was very linear.
Yes.
Find the way to go and go that way, and then maybe check behind that rock or that burnout car and get some more ammo or something. But there was no like branching paths or like ways to figure out. Like, it was pretty hard to get lost, which was nice.
Yeah, it doesn't really change to, like, as far as that goes. To tell you the truth,
it's pretty easy to just like, oh, there's a guy over there. That must be the way to go. So I kill him, move on.
Kill dudes, let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that game was pretty cool. I liked it. And then I also played some of, what's it called? Lone Survivor, which was a game that I had been, like, looking forward to for a while, and then it came out, and I just sort of fell off my radar.
I know this name, this game. What is...
I think we all have it through some kind of Steam bundle, I'm not gonna lie.
What?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple times. It's like that weird 2D adventure game where you, like, wake up...
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I got it. And you're like, not like, sure if it's real.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. It's a lot like, basically, like a pixelated Silent Hill 2D adventure game where, like, there are weird monsters everywhere and...
You're wearing a hazard mask kind of thing.
Yeah, you're like sick and you don't really know what's going on and you're not really sure if like this is really happening or not, and you're like stuck in this apartment building, and so you have to get, basically I'm just at this part where you have to just get across the apartment building, and you're like waypoint back to your bed because your guy gets tired, or he complains that he's tired, so I don't know what happens if you don't sleep, but I've been taking the hint and headed back to bed, and so you're like waypoint to get back to there is you like walk through, I think, like a mirror or something, and you end up in your bedroom. And so just like really weird. At one point I just like walked in on this party and it's just, they're like monsters everywhere. And these two guys are just like hanging out and like, nope, what's going on, man? Nothing's wrong. And you're just like, guys, there's like shit everywhere. What are you guys doing here? And they just like insisted that I was, you know, crazy. So, pretty weird game. Definitely a lot of fun. Very cool graphics. The only kind of issue is that you are like navigating through a sort of complex, 3D environment, but everything is strictly 2D on a 2D plane. So it can be kind of confusing, like which door is going to take you where you want to go.
Right.
Which was something that I kind of had that same problem at times.
Like, you're gonna get, like, any sort of map to even
guide you? You do get a map, yeah. Like, it's pretty easy. If you go in the wrong door, you're like, okay, that's the wrong door. I can go back. But there was just sort of one thing that I didn't quite get a grasp on. It's I had a similar issue with, what's the other adventure game where you, like, it begins and you're, like, having surgery and they're taking out your brain or something. And then it goes to this like detective guy and it's raining and he's looking for his friend. I know you played it, Dave. That's why
Dave actually just we just lost Dave for a second there.
Dave's gone. I can still see him. Anyway.
I believe it's Yoshi's Story.
Yes, Yoshi's Story had a similar issue. So, but no, it's pretty cool. I like it quite a bit. And I will be traveling next week, so I will I'll probably play more of both of those games when I'm on the road again. So,
all right. Well,
and I got engaged.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, congrats!
I gave you the Twitter bump, the Twitter congrats.
I did. Yeah, I got like 800 followers from that.
Did you really? You got followers?
Yeah. Taylor retweeted me, and I got like all of his followers are now mine. They actually unsubscribed to you too.
Oh, no wonder I'm so low right now.
Yeah,
because I was looking. I'm only at like 170. So
Taylor, what's your name on Twitter? I'll find you now.
Are you not following me?
I just canceled his account.
That's messed up. It's just Taylor Bliss.
I'm gonna find your ass.
So it was. I'm engaged. Yeah, some point between now and the next 20 years in that window, I will be married.
You guys don't have anything set. You guys don't know.
It's in the future.
In the future, done.
Only time will tell.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. You just got.
That's
followed.
What keeps the ladies happy.
Yep,
Taylor Swift.
Could be any day now, or any year. Gemini Rue, by the way, was the game I was stumbling over.
Ah, right.
But
so, when's the first kid due?
We're not having kids. Don't be crazy.
They're having octopi.
Yeah, so pass on all this video game love to some small children.
I am a large child, so I think it'll manage. That's why I run the website, so other people's kids can read it and learn. Right? I don't want to reach just one children. I want to reach out and touch all the children.
Jerry Sandusky, ladies and gentlemen.
So.
Well, let's move on then. I think that's... shop.
Is Dave back
shop
yet?
Shop talked. No, Dave Voiles is unfortunately right now unavailable, it seems.
How could he do this?
Well, he said he was having possible internet troubles, so I think they might have caught up to him.
Does he really even have to say that anymore? It's just sort of an assumed fact,
right? Yeah,
it is.
But anyway, so let's hop over to Wright's coming out to on the online space on the downloadable titles. we've got Quantum Conundrum coming out. And Zuma's Revenge. Oh boy, how many different Zuma games can they possibly make?
How many continue to sell?
Oh, that's true. I played the original one for the iPod Video before there was an iPod Classic.
Oh my god!
Wow,
and that was actually really sweet because you know it had since the rotator wheel basically you know spun them around and then just the center shot the. It was awesome.
It's really all you need. How much are these games changing at this point?
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Not much. Maybe just like some different courses or something. And those are both coming out tomorrow, July 11th, Wednesday. And then Dungeon Fighter Live, which I don't know anything about.
This was like a free-to-play game online.
Okay, so this is the same one that just came out on Steam like a week and a half ago.
Probably.
Because there's...
It's Dungeon Fighter Live Fall of Hendon Mir.
It looks...
Will it be free to play on Xbox Live is the question I have.
Don't be crazy.
No, it can't be because it's 800 points.
Of course it's not free to play.
Well, free to play and then you would buy stuff, right?
No, not this one.
Yeah.
Nah.
There's three classes as opposed to there are eight in the real full game. But you can play local multiplayer and offline as well.
It's also got some beefed up graphics.
Yeah. But it is free to play, like online. I think it's even browser based if you want to do it that way.
Yeah.
And not,
it is.
Not even boot up Steam.
It is.
I'll play the demo for this, though. I like beat 'em ups and I like, you know, I like.
This one, I think this one also has some, games, like, so. RPG stuff, like weapons and items.
Yeah. It's got some leveling and stuff. So, I mean, as bad as it is to say that I would pay $10 for a game that I could probably play for free on my PC.
I know. You just love your Xbox.
Well, I like my TV. It's more like it. And multiplayer.
Anyway. So, that's what's coming out. The deals we got going on. It's a Bethesda week right now. So, Oblivion stuff, Fallout 3 stuff is all on sale. 50% off.
Have they discounted the horse armor?
No, they stopped doing
that. Not this time, yeah.
They also, of course, have not discounted the one piece of Bethesda DLC that everybody actually wants to purchase.
What? What, the stuff that just came out?
Yeah.
Oh, please, that's ridiculous. Why would that happen?
Right, but why? Theoretically, all the people that are buying this are the same people that are like really into Skyrim. So, if
not
you
even
just
Steam
DLC,
is going to put that on sale. Yeah.
But if you just bought Skyrim DLC, what? Why are you going to buy all this other shit now?
Come on, Mike. Because it's old.
Because you're already there and you're looking
at it. Get your old games back.
You go, well, I didn't play that stuff when it was new and expensive. Maybe now I'll buy it and play it that it's cheap and available. And then you'll just forget about it because you're too busy playing the new one.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's how they make their money.
And then we've actually we've got some special sales going on this week.
If you are going to get that Fallout stuff, get Broken Steel and Point Lookout were the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. It adds a lot of content.
Oh, Dave Wells is back. Hey, Dave, what happened? You okay?
Like clockwork, baby. Tuesday nights, my internet just dies on me.
Oh, I'm glad you're okay. Point Lookout was the one that was in, like, Alaska?
No, that's Operation Anchorage.
That would make sense.
I wasn't, like, crazy about that one.
That one's not very good. That was the first one where you lose all your shit and you just go inside a VR simulator.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's stupid.
What is it, a Metroid game?
The pit is in Pittsburgh. It's in an iron or like a steel mill. That one's not so hot.
Yeah, Point Lookout is definitely the big one. It's like the swamp one, right?
That is Point Lookout. Yeah, that's one's in Maryland.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good.
Yes.
And they've got a special sale going on this week too, through the 16th. I think it's all stuff published by Microsoft Studios. Yeah.
Looks that way.
So
I don't think Hydrophobia.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That might be the
then
one.
Why are they calling it the Microsoft Studios Arcade Sale? That's what
I don't know.
Because I'm pretty sure Hydrophobia came out on PSN, didn't it?
It definitely did. Yeah. It was a timed exclusive. It was on Xbox for like a year or so.
It's also on Steam. Maybe. But anyway, you've got Toy Soldiers, Cold War, Hydrophobia, Section 8, Prejudice, The Splatters, and Hydro Thunder Hurricane. Those are all 50% off. So yeah,
Hydro Thunder
was a pretty big amount of fun.
That's really good, yeah. The Splatters is pretty good too. At $5, it's probably a little bit easier than $10 to recommend the Splatters.
And then what? Sex and Prejudice is $7.50.
I've never played that.
I played the demo. It's a decent shooter. It's just like,
is that the one where you fall from the sky in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It was good. I mean, like, I actually really enjoyed the demo, but it did not inspire me to purchase.
I'm kind of interested in Toy Story or Toy Soldiers. Toy Story Soldiers.
Been there, done that. Toy Soldiers Cold War, that did really well when it came out. It was part of one of their bundles. What?
It was Summer Arcade.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I might look at that. I've never played either of those games, so
it's like you know what it is, right? It's got the kind of,
it's like a tower
defense
but...
and then you can also take control of stuff and
right,
blah blah blah.
And Hydrophobia is still too much money.
Hydrophobia is so little money. It's $250.
I played that at PAX, the first PAX East, I guess, and it felt like you were playing a PS2 game basically.
Oh, that's so not good.
It was not a fun game to me.
I remember when I saw mechanics. I saw it on Steam for like $2, and I tweeted about it, and someone was like, still too much money.
Yeah.
I would say that I appreciate that the developers went back and changed so much stuff. With
they
the
did do a lot of update.
But it made it from like a D- to a D.
That's bad. Well, let's move on. We don't need to just hate on Hydrophobia all day.
Sorry, Hydrophobia guys.
on PC, coming out to Steam, you got Foreign Legion and Endless Space, neither of which I know anything about. Endless Space comes out on... Oh, that already came out on July 4th, last week. And then Foreign Legion came out on the 9th. So there's looks like there's nothing that's coming out in the upcoming week. You've got... what's that? Orcs Must Die 2 coming out the 30th. But that's pretty much
it. I am excited.
That's a ways away.
Foreign...
Wow, like...
What's that?
Foreign Legion Multi-Massacre looks like if they were to make... if you were to smash together mercenaries and like a Lego game.
Yeah, I mean, there's like dolphins with dynamite strapped to them.
your guy's kind of like short and squat. It kind of has like a kind of cartoony, blocky look to it a little bit.
Definitely.
It's kind of interesting looking.
And then Endless Space is that like a sandbox game? Maybe? No. No, it's a strategy game. Strategy space simulator, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's...
Probably like a Homeworld type.
It's not my kind of game, that's for sure. Yeah, it's got a lot of graphs and charts and...
Plot the course, Captain!
Yeah. That's not for me.
Yeah. Anyway, and then PSN. Oh, this is like the one time PSN is not the exact, just like a replica of... Xbox Live Indie, Xbox Live Arcade. You got Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition. God.
Hyper Arcade.
$10. Rainbow Moon.
I want to say something about Frogger.
Oh, please.
Of all the franchises Konami can mine from to bring back year in and year out, time in and time again, I mean, I can probably go off for a while. Frogger, really? Again?
Probably not the first one that comes to mind, huh?
Just...
Gradius alone. I just can't believe that they leave all these decent franchises that we love so much in the wayside for yet another Frogger game.
Somebody must be buying them. That's the only answer that makes sense. If they're going to put this out every year, someone must be buying it.
Because even Konami would not continue to remake something if there was not some sort of sales behind it.
I am saddened to agree with it. But it's depressing because they have such a good catalog in the background that they just continually ignore.
Well, luckily, with this version of Frogger, you can deck it out with skins from Castlevania and even Contra.
Oh, so they're just teasing us fans of those series.
They sure are. But other than Frogger, you've got Rainbow Moon, which Dan... site contributor Dan was just recently gushing about. He's looking into. He seems excited about it, although he mentioned about how terrible the name is. And I'm inclined
it's
to
a perfect name. What do you
mean? I'm inclined to agree. It looks terrible. Rainbow Moon, come on.
I think it's perfect. What? Explain what you don't like about it.
Makes me think of Strip Club Underpants.
That's the subtitle. That's straight on. That's
Rainbow Moon.
Strip Club Underpants.
Strip Club Underpants. Coming to PSN.
I would play that game.
Play it. Then Quantum Conundrum is also coming. Quantum Conundrum was already on PC, correct?
It came out like a week or so ago. It's not that old.
Let me see.
It
came out June 21st.
For review? June 21st?
Is when Quantum Conundrum came out on Steam.
Oh. Then that explains why those reviews seem so early.
So, that was a while ago. Damn.
That's a couple weeks ago, like I said.
Mike, that was like...
Mike was correct.
That was almost a month ago.
That's
3 weeks.
Three weeks ago. Like I said, a couple weeks
ago. It's more than a couple weeks, Mike.
What are we fighting? Three is a couple.
No, it's not.
One is one, two is a pair, three is a couple.
No.
Two is a couple. That's why they call it couples.
No,
that's why like you, that's you
couples,
and your
like multiple
newly
couples.
Anointed fiance is a couple.
I think three can also be a couple.
Oh, maybe I should tell Stephanie about this. I think she would like to know about your new definition of a couple.
So anyway, I never thought about it. You are hitting me with some serious logic. Is a couple really must be two?
Yes. I'm serious.
I'm going to, according to the freedictionary.com.
And a few would be three.
Two items of the same kind, a pair, something that joins or connects two things together.
I mean, you're making a lot of sense.
Two people united by as by betrothal or marriage.
Betrothal.
Two people together. Several. Yeah, I'm just throwing the words out there right now. A pair of forces of equal magnitude acting right, in
stop,
parallel.
Stop reading
directions.
Different things that can be applied to couple.
Yeah, I really didn't realize that it was that specific of a definition.
Yeah, it goes one, a couple, a few, being three or more.
Isn't it fun when something like that happens in life?
How
and
about
think you
that?
Know a
seriously.
Definition of a word and you don't?
I mean, I was like close enough.
You weren't that
close. It
works
for me.
It's only like one off.
One off. It's only you were only
50%.
Off by 50%. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about news. Anybody about news? You ready, guys? Talk about news.
Do it.
All right. We got. I like this part. So Valve is coming. It's releasing Steam Greenlight or Greenlight for Steam, kind of depending on how you want to look at it. And it's a new program where basically it's going to kind of alleviate Steam's position as the kind of like the sole entity looking at what games are coming to be released on Steam, where the community will be able to vote on what games come out.
So basically, there's no longer this faceless gatekeeper that controls what's on Steam.
Right. And it seems like it's mostly just for indie games.
I think it is specifically for indie games.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think this is a great step for the service.
I concur.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you look at like comments from like what Jonathan Blow was saying, he almost predicted that this was going to come, that there would be some sort of change. And he was saying, I think it was around January or December, he was saying that it's just like there's so many games and the time that they can devote to making these decisions is so small that stuff's just bound to be overlooked. So
right,
this alleviates them from that responsibility. So you know,
now I found it interesting. I was reading an article, you know, the article which is coming, the one in particular that I read was coming from VentureBeat, and you know they invited a bunch of indie devs out to, you know, their offices in Seattle to kind of look at the system and critique it. And one of the common things that were pointed out was about kind of like gaming the system, you know, to,
right.
to kind of force some things through or keep other things out. And I found it interesting that it was mostly Robert Boyd that brought it up. Because
well, of course, he was hit
exactly
because
Robert was so, you know, with Cthulhu and Breath of Death got so hit during that whole fiasco with the gaming ratings on Xbox Live indie games.
I guess the what remains to be seen and how it's going to work is like, do they put up five games and whichever game gets the most vote gets on, and the other four are like cast away forever.
Right.
Or like how, you know, can you resubmit your game or if two games both get equal amounts, do they both go, you know,
or is it just like
those?
Do they need a certain threshold of approval?
Right, if all five games get like a million hits, then do they all go
exactly.
up or how's that work, you know? So, you know, it seems great. It's just a matter of, you know, how it's going to work. And maybe you get credits, like if each account gets a certain amount of credits, so you can't vote for every game every week or
right. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do that. And I think that kind of the success of it, I won't say that it's going to be completely reliant on how they do that, but I think it's going to be definitely a large factor in how successful it will be.
Do you think that they would do something like this if it weren't for Kickstarter? Like how much of that sort of
I
democratizing what games come?
I looked at it and I really did think about Kickstarter first. I really did. And not necessarily as a result of Kickstarter, but almost like, how was I going to say? It almost like it takes away from Kickstarter in some ways, because now you don't have to put the money up front. You know, you can kind of just vote without your dollar about what game is going to get kind of this distribution. You know, even though obviously Steam is not publishing these games.
Right, but the difference is that Kickstarter is for games that are in progress
exactly.
or far off. This is for games that are almost out the
Correct.
Door.
But at the same time, though, you know, for a lot of these developers, getting on Steam can mean whether or not they will have the funds to be able to, you know, in some cases, continue their regular life.
Oh, sure. I mean, getting on Steam is what makes you. It's what allows you to quit your job and potentially become a full-time developer if that's sort of the line you're straddling.
Right.
It could save your studio. What was the studio that did that? What's the Darwinia studio that?
Oh,
was
Introversion.
Like, yeah, weren't they like going to close and then they had a Steam sale and they?
Yeah, I mean,
had this
they were.
Of cash.
He had pretty much any team that he had. It was just himself and the one other guy that he does the work with. And then they put which game was it? There,
it was Darwinia Plus or something like that.
No, they put a different game on sale.
Oh, okay.
Because they also had one of their other games, which had come out after Darwinia and DEFCON, and they put DEFCON and probably Darwinia 2 on sale, and you know they put them at like $2 or $2.50, and the sales were so much that it allowed them to continue. They would have gone under otherwise. So I mean when you look at stuff like that and the kind of like this ability to be able to drop the price of your game and almost get this like infusion of revenue is you can't value it enough, especially because that's the kind of stuff that goes, everybody's checking the specials on Steam, and if your game is on that list and people were on the edge about it, and then all of a sudden, or even just impulse buys, that's what people
look at top downloads at any given time, and there's always whatever is the stale.
Yeah, exactly.
The top download.
Exactly.
People are just always willing to take a chance on them.
So yeah, that's huge, and I think that Greenlight is an excellent thing to happen to kind of PC indies in total. I find it hard to think of it as a bad thing. So unless anybody has a devil's advocate thought.
Your gaming the system is obviously the huge negative.
Right.
And until we know more like details about how that's going to work and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to really come up with any compelling reason not to. Or if there's any correlation between just too many games being put on there that it floods the system and not enough people are buying the games.
I'm knowing Steam and knowing kind of like the way that they like to have everything be neat, I'm sure that they're going to have some control of the floodgates and stuff like that.
Right.
But by the same token, it's like we can't really pass judgment on it with the limited details that we have on it.
Exactly. So
anyway, let's talk about some more stuff. Nothing really about Steam, but what about the Ouya? Is that how you call it? Is it an Ouya?
Ooh, yeah.
That's how I would say it.
Ouya?
Unless I were the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ouya? Anyway. So anybody that's been kind of watching any of the main gaming blogs will know about the Ouya, which is basically Android box, although it's not like it's not an official Android box, but it's kind of like for playing free to play games.
I think it's really interesting.
Interesting is how I would put it.
I'm apprehensive to get one.
Yeah,
because I don't play a lot of free to play stuff, but the fact that it's completely open source and they encourage you to hack it, and that when developers buy it, it comes with a full SDK. I'm intrigued by that business model.
Yeah, everything comes with the SDK immediately. You're immediately given root access to everything, and anybody who has kind of done, modded an Android phone knows that in order to do anything like that, you have to first crack the the software of it, so you can have root access, because otherwise you can't change anything. So yeah, I mean, it's they're selling it to be modded.
It's also super cheap.
It's also $100.
Like, stupid dumb cheap.
Yeah.
It's got an ARM quad core processor in it, which is like
Tegra.
It's a Tegra 3.
Oh, that's the processing unit.
Yeah, it's still a mobile one. So you're
it's the Tegra 3, the actual, which is like the same processor that's in like the Samsung Galaxy S3.
Right.
Doesn't ARM? Don't they do the? They do iPhone processors, don't they?
I think ARM is Intel and Tegra is AMD.
I'm almost more interested in this not for the gaming ideas, but just to have like a small set-top box PC for my TV.
Yeah, I mean,
almost like a Roku box or something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the only problem is, I mean, you know, it depends on. It's really going to depend on the community that gets around it. Because I don't know how to make that kind of shit. I'm not going to learn how to make it. So, you know, if someone builds me like a sweet mod with Scott, like the ability to, you know, plug in a portable hard drive and just play all that kind of stuff right off there, you got me. You know, if I can load up a Netflix app on it, you got me. But, you know, if it can't make that stuff happen because it's happening on, you know, unlicensed Android software, you know, that could be a problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, my main concern is, you know, we're basically covering a very much open platform right now in that it's Xbox Live indie games, and we see what happens when it's unregulated. And, I don't know how unregulated or unregulated this one will be, but at least we have an idea of what to expect if it's not, right?
What's their distribution model going to be like? How are you going to buy games? Will you have to go to websites to do it? Will there be an app store or something?
Right. From the brief video, it looked like they had an interface very similar to Live.
Yeah, so okay. It's kind of like, it's almost got like a Metro Tiled look to it. But at the same time, you can't have Google Play on it. I do not believe that Google Play will work. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, I mean, maybe someone will be able to mod it to have it work. But yeah, you know, we'll see. I don't see a lot of kind of AAA developers really just like jumping on and be like, oh yeah, let's get some games out for the Ouya.
No, you know? But you're going to see stuff like Dungeon Defenders or something on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be kind of cool, to be honest. But I mean, I don't need a Dungeon Defenders box.
No. I think
you already have one of those.
I do. It's called my computer. Although, you know, using like, it's got like Twitch TV built in, so you can like live cast it and stuff like that. That's kind of cool.
I mean, it's cheap enough.
I'll tell you though, it's definitely coming though, because they met the Kickstarter goal by a lot.
Yeah, their required goal was 950,000. With 29 days to go, they are already at 1.7 million. So
yes, they basically hit all their goal and then some.
Yeah,
there's a demand for it. Is basically what we
it said. It sold 3 of the highest level of the 10K backers.
Really? Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's got 13,000 backers, so that's 13,000 people that have pledged at least $10.
It's sold out of the $6.99 pledge. 200 backers.
Oh my god.
It's sold out of the $225 pledge.
What do you get for that?
It's this Kickstarter that's making me think maybe I should jump on the $99 pledge and get myself one of these boxes when it comes out.
Oh, well, that's pretty nice.
Maybe this is the next one.
You can basically just guarantee that you're going to get one if you just buy it now.
Yep.
Yep.
Estimated release is March 2013.
There's a shit ton of people buying this already.
That's a lot of backers. So does anyone think that this is going to have anything, you know, could you see kind of like indie devs hopping on this and being like, you know, make sure it works on Ouya? Or, I mean, you know, is...
What are the odds they get Steam running on it?
Well, Steam can run on Linux.
And
Android is Linux. Yeah.
Interesting.
So possibly. But the problem is the specs in this thing are, for a mobile device, great. But for a home console, I mean, it has, like I said, a little Tegra processor and 8 gigabytes of RAM. So, right. Not RAM, RAM memory. So you don't really have much you can put on there.
Well,
and as a developer, you're really limited too.
It does have full USB 2.0, which they said is will interface with storage devices.
Okay, so that's good. So at least you have external hard drives and things like that.
And I don't know. I guess one of the interesting things is that the controller has like a touchpad on it in the middle. So like if you want to play mobile games on it, it's basically got a touchpad right in the center of the controller. So you don't have to kind of lose out on that touch feel or games that are better with touch controls.
It's really, really intriguing. It's all going to come down to how easy it is. As soon as you start telling people that it's fully moddable and that it's customizable,
how
and
easy
you can
is
hack
it to
shit.
Do it?
Well, and does that mean that as soon as like a mom hears that, does that mean that she thinks twice about giving it to her son? Because she's like, my son needs to be a computer programmer to understand this. Like,
right.
Is it something that you can buy at Walmart, plug into your TV, and instantly start playing? Or does it require that to do any of the cool shit?
If they could distribute this at Walmart, they've already won.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen in the particularly near future. But anyway, I think that we need kind of a better idea of how everything's going to work before we can really say more about how it's going to fit in.
I mean, the price is so right though for $100. Like that's just nothing.
How about that? I mean, I just gotta bring this up real quick. How about the fact that this is essentially the Nexus Q?
Like the phone you're saying?
No, the Nexus Q, the little...
The tablet?
No. Oh my god, what are you...
What the hell
is this? Are you guys under a rock?
I don't know what the Q is either.
An iPad.
The Nexus Q was announced at Google I.O. It's their like little multimedia, like like Darth Vader ball thing.
Oh boy!
Oh my God! All right, you guys are under rocks.
It's $300.
Yeah, it's $300, and this thing is coming out for $99. So I'm just making that point real quick. That's all.
It's kind of like they might be smashing some competition there.
So yeah. But anyway, I'm going to move on. What we got? Some more people speaking out about possible better indie support. From Nintendo for Wii U. It looks like Nintendo was kind of reaching out and providing some more indie devs with Wii U dev kits.
That's good. And Nintendo's finally acknowledging that the internet exists.
Well, but yeah, I mean, you've got two tribes who are developing Toki Tori 2. Toki Tori was a pretty popular indie game that came out on Steam. Probably came out elsewhere as well. And then you've also got guys, Frozen Byte, who made Trine and Trine 2, both of which were talking about it. And yeah, I mean, it's certainly...
So this is not news, though. These are all people we knew were already developing. These are like the three guys that Nintendo has in their pocket that says, look, we're doing indie developers. Like we have.
For the record, Toki Tori also came out on WiiWare.
It did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so these are the three people that everyone already knew were going to be developing for WiiWare, and now this is just them coming out again and saying, hey, look, WiiWare is not bad for indies.
Yeah, I think that's really what it came down to.
Well,
if they call it WiiWare again, they already lost.
Yeah, they really shouldn't. They got to rebrand
that. Runner game, because Runner 2 is the other one, and that's also, like, the Bitrick games all came out on WiiWare.
True.
That's such an criminally underloved series.
Well, it's okay. You kind of overlove it, so.
No way, it's not possible.
Well, I mean, you know, the title of the Gamasutra article is Wii U and Indies, Will It Work This Time? So, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to look at the same guys who tried to make it work. And
this is what needs to happen with Nintendo in this, because this is what happened with WiiWare, was they listened, they set up a little bit of stuff, they got some developers eager to go, made a big hullabaloo about it, and then when stuff didn't seem to be working that well, they just buried their head in the sand.
Yeah.
So this time around, if Nintendo puts together the service and gets the developers interested and gets a bunch of games on the service, if they come out and say, this section of this is not working, they need to make right by the developers and fix that.
Yeah.
Were there sections before that weren't working that went just ignored?
Well, things like how they have a sales threshold. So if you only, I think it's 6,000 copies is what I have read. If you don't sell 6,000 copies of your game on WiiWare, you don't get any of the royalties.
Wow.
And there's developers that obviously are not going to sell 6,000 copies, but you know, you spend a lot of time and effort and money developing a video game. To put it on Nintendo system and not make anything off of it can make or break your company.
Well, if your company's not selling 6,000 copies, you're in trouble.
I agree, but it's still a pretty weird system to like require them to not make anything if they don't break that sales threshold.
The issue is that the entire experience is like they're not mandatory demos, and you couldn't store a credit card, and just navigating the store on Wii took forever, and nothing is in HD, and there are so many reasons why WiiWare was a disaster.
Semantics.
There's no...
That's what Nintendo would have you believe.
Yeah.
The lack of HD didn't bother me. The store was kind of a pain in the ass.
You can only look at like four things at a time, and whenever I hit like go to the next page, it would take 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was irritating.
There was no search
function.
I could
store my credit card information, but I don't think you could at first. There is a search function, I believe, but it's not super easy to use. It really wasn't a very optimized storefront. I don't understand why they went forward with it the way they did, especially when Live was already so superior.
Because they just don't care.
Not games for Windows Live.
That sucks for the developers that stake their entire well-being in WiiWare. I mean, granted, that's their mistake, but when you're told by Nintendo that it's supposed to work one way and it doesn't, you're kind of misled at that point.
Yeah.
I would advise you don't stake your whole developments in Nintendo's online plans. That's just about the worst idea.
And Nintendo's not really known for their strong third-party support either. You know?
Better luck staking your development on like making Dreamcast disc games and selling them.
Or developing for the Ouya.
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
I'm sorry, that is a terrible name for that thing. I sat there for like a half hour trying to figure out how the hell you pronounce it. Oh yeah.
That makes it a fantastic name, Dave, because that means for half an hour you thought about their product.
Ooh yeah.
That makes it the best name ever.
Be a man, Hulk. Stop talking about my game. Ooh yeah.
Let's make an ooh yeah wrestle buddy.
Yeah.
Right? Ooh yeah.
I like where this is going.
I don't know what a wrestle buddy. What's a wrestle buddy?
Mike, don't lie. Don't lie.
Is it the, like those stuffed animals that like were wrestlers?
Yes.
Okay, I know what you mean.
And you guys should definitely Google this, by the way, when you listen to this show. Like, put it in chat. There you go. I had this exact one actually. I had Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Dude, the Ultimate Warrior is, this may not be surprising for you to hear, but he is crazy.
I Google Ultimate Warrior and dead is the first thing that comes up.
He died.
He's a pretty crazy dude.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
I didn't know he died. He spoke at Penn State.
Who's there? Wait, said born 53. Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah,
this guy's older than my dad.
Ultimate Warrior.
Jeez. Yeah,
thought he was dead. Huh.
Marvel vs. Capcom is coming to Xbox and PSN.
Because I haven't been playing it on emulators for years.
No, but it's getting the Super Street Fighter 3 treatment.
How's that?
You know, it's got like the 4x3 sidebars, so it gives you like statistics and things on the side. It also has the arcade cabinet feel, where it kind of curves the edges as though you're watching it through one of those old school cabinets.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of achievements and things. See, I actually like playing Super Street Fighter 3 that way.
I never...
Did they add online play?
I don't know.
Yes, they did.
Dave, I don't know what Super Street Fighter 3 is.
It was ported to Xbox Live last summer.
I mean Third Strike.
He's talking about Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
No.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's online play. There's also replays and all that kind of stuff.
This is like the first time that, well, I guess it was on like Saturn, but that Marvel Superheroes game is also included in this.
Yeah, it's a two for one.
Yeah, Superheroes was on the Japanese Saturn, and this Marvel's Capcom was arcade, Dreamcast, and PlayStation.
Yeah. $15. It was $10 is an easy purchase.
Yeah. If you're not like a real fan, 15 might be much. I absolutely plan on picking this up. It's my favorite franchise, but for most people, I'd imagine they're not.
15's a lot for games these days. I hate to say it, but it really is.
I kind of wish they went with like X-Men vs. Street Fighter or like Marvel vs. Street Fighter.
Speaking of which, weren't we just playing that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, they should have started there. They're calling this like Marvel vs. Capcom Origins. They should have started with that one and then put this one out like next year or something.
Yeah, because Marvel vs. Capcom was 98.
Yeah, they should have had a three-pack of like Children of the Atom.
You're the second person to bring up Children of the Atom today. That was the worst one.
I think it was great. That was the first one that was like this. It was like the first one where you could jump in the air and the first one that had just like the humongous sprites.
I remember I had it on PlayStation 1, but you can only have like one character at a time. Because it was like limited because it didn't have as much RAM as the Saturn.
Don't play fighting games on PlayStation 1. Play them in the arcade. I've only played in the arcade and it was awesome.
Okay.
I always thought arcade Children of the Atom had an awesome subtitle. That name is just so good.
The cast was so small. It had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 X-Men. 7 X-Men. And like 8. Yeah, it's 7
like
villains.
It's like 10 characters. I don't know. Street Fighter 2 had like 10 characters. Or 8 characters, so...
Yeah, so when it came to PlayStation, when I got it, it was already 4 years old. Wow.
But I don't know. I loved Marvel vs. Capcom 1. I played it a lot.
I actually like it better than the first one, so...
You mean better than the second one?
Well, right. Yeah, that too.
That one. And that's pretty much the end of news.
That's about it.
What do you guys think about Penny Arcade hosting a Kickstarter? Has anybody else seen this?
Nope.
Yeah.
I have not, but I can without... Now, granted, I have not looked at what it is. My gut reaction is I think it's inappropriate.
I agree with you completely. Now, let me tell you what it is. Penny Arcade is having a Kickstarter so that their fans can pay money to make the site ad-free for a year.
I mean, I don't know. Look at it this way. Oh, maybe a year or two ago, Giant Bomb was doing that thing within their own network where you pay like $50 a year and you're a premium member, right? And that way you got not only no ads, but a lot of premium content and videos for there are other sister sites like Tested.com, which is really the reason I got it, Comic Vine and Anime Vine. And for $50, I mean, I listen to that podcast every week, tons and tons of enjoyment out of it. I've got no problem. So I don't know why they don't do the same approach as opposed to doing Kickstarter.
I feel like it undermines what Kickstarter is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I just don't see why Kickstarter is the right place for it.
I agree with you on that sense.
Oh, I mean, I totally agree with their right to charge people to have the site be ad-free.
Right.
I just Kickstarter is the wrong platform for it.
Yep, that's how I feel about it completely.
I'm going to just go the other way and just say that, like, once again, like, anything that gets more people to, like, create accounts on Kickstarter and stuff is a lot better. Because it's that pour-over effect, right? Like, we saw that when they had the... the Double Fine thing. Like, after that, like, all these other games started getting funded that were, like, other indie games.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's, like, when this whole thing started. So, like, you need these, like, big tentpole established companies... Or websites or what have you.
Well,
to do things like this to bring attention, and then you have a pour over. So
it's certainly I don't think it's why Kickstarter wants them to do it,
right? And it's not like, well, I have $10, I'm going to fund the Penny Arcade thing and not this other thing. It's probably like just one more reason that I'm going to Kickstarter, and then I'll start looking at other stuff again.
Right.
So I mean, I would say you're not incorrect in saying that it's undermining what Kickstarter was like designed to be, because, you know, Penny Arcade is already well established, and that is true, but I don't think it's a bad thing for Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
that's one way to think about it.
And I also just, I'm in favor of if they think that they can make enough money with like sort of a membership model, if they think that makes, if they can make enough, you know, revenue that way, then sure, do it. Get rid of ads. I think that's just good in general, right? Like, if they can go like an NPR kind of route and not have to have ads, then sure, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, I don't know.
And as far as, like, if you're going to do that, like, I can't imagine it's that easy to just set up methods to track all that. I mean, I guess you could just do, like, a PayPal kind of thing, or you could have, like, your own sort of fundraiser, but, I mean, Kickstarter is probably just really easy for them. If you're going to, like, have thousands of people donating money, Kickstarter probably makes that really easy.
Yeah.
I mean, plus you get rewards. You know, they give you stuff.
And you get attention.
Attention.
That's a tough excuse, though, because they plan at a convention two times a year where thousands of people give them money through the internet to buy tickets for their convention. So they should have the infrastructure set up for that.
That's true.
I see what you're saying.
That's true. That's outsourced as well. They're not taking that money.
I'm just not sure crowdfunding was the way to go when, like you said, they're already established.
But at the same time, though, I see what you mean, because you're basically having a select group pay for what everybody benefits for instead of giving benefits to those who pay.
It would be everyone, I think, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Basically, like, if they hit X goal, everybody benefits because, you know, they take that away or they take this away, which theoretically would, would increase the site, you know, the quality of the site. As opposed to, say, a premium model where only the people who pay get those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a different way of doing it. I think that is something that can only be done in a crowdsourced model. It can't be done on a premium service.
Yeah, it is something where it benefits everyone, which is, I guess, good and bad.
Yeah.
You may feel not great if you're the person pledging $1,000, but...
Yeah. Yeah, really, because what are those... they were asking for quite a bit on some of those things, too.
They have one person that's pledging $9,999.
Yeah. Jesus.
One person is doing 75, three people doing 5K.
That's sold out.
Yeah. Well, they have another 5K that does something else, but yeah. So they're getting some big chunks. But
anyway.
Yes, there's hope.
Soapbox deconstructed. But anyway, this has been episode 107 of the Almost Podcast. We need to skedaddle. It's 10 o'clock. I'm tired. It's bedtime.
Time to
get ready
up
for work. If you guys would like to comment, you guys can head over to armlessoctopus.com. That's where this show will be posted. So if you would like to comment on the show, please go there. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/armlessoctopus. Or you can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/armlessoctopus. And I think that's pretty much everything. That's it. That's the
whole
show.
Sounds good to me.
Well,
if anybody wants to tweet brands of motor oil I may enjoy drinking, please
or do. If you know a specific what was it that you were eating? Spark plugs. If you know a specific type of spark plug.
Yummy.
You know, like from a specific motor vehicle.
Yeah, what kind is the most delicious?
Yeah, I'm personally not up on my spark plug dining. So let us know. And we'll see you guys